gather back again, and let's look at this on the back of the bulletin here, this message for today from next door to downtown. We're going through a study called The Tangible Kingdom in our kinship, and so on Sundays we're kind of working our way through the same themes, and that's what this is all about. This was fun to put together. So in the notes, just going through the different weeks we've already gone through, we're missional. That is, we're people with a mission to be like Jesus, which is, of course, no small mission. We're incarnational. That is, we're to be Jesus with skin on. So not just a mission to go out, but also to be who Jesus was and represent him. We're gospel bearers. That is, we are demonstrations of a kingdom which is experienced partly as words, but partly as active miracles. Additionally, we're community indwellers. That is, we're not monks or hermits or curmudgeons or sociopaths, but relational, interactive, engaging citizens and neighbors. That's our challenge. That's what God's called us to. And so I just want to look through these few verses this morning because it really, sometimes we think we talk so much about being community and in community and all of that, and people have "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelets and bumper stickers and everything else. But it becomes so commonplace after a while, we don't really know what we're talking about. And so just these few simple verses, really well-known verses, but just helping us to know what it is to be community. And so the first one in Galatians 2:20, number one there, I see it, there's an ending and then a starting. So your blank there is starting. When this familiar verse, probably don't even need to look it up. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul is explaining his position in Christ, and he says in verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so when we get started on this journey, this idea of being called out as missional people, as incarnational, and as gospel bearers, it starts off by dying. Not the usual place to start, but God calls us to die to the old self so that we can be raised up in a new life. We live this life in Jesus by faith in him. So we start off with a complete cutting off of everything that was the old, and we say, that's not going to get us there, that's not sufficient, that's not helping. And so all of those things we lay down, and Paul identifies it as, it's like we've been crucified with Christ. We lay down the old, and we take on, we receive his life. And so we are raised up new in the symbolism of baptism that we have, of dunking, going underneath the water, symbolizing separated from the old and then bringing back up again. And so it's no longer I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me, Paul says. And obviously there's a spiritual sense, because there's a physical sense where Paul keeps on living, where we keep on living. And we understand as well, as if we've walked any length of time at all as a believer, that not everything of the old man completely dies, never again to raise its ugly head. We still have to deal with the old stuff that wants to express itself. And the minute we start giving in to even a little bit of the old man and our old ways, the old man is more than happy to come roaring back to life again and express himself in all his ugliness. And so there's a spiritual sense, though, where it's Jesus' life that we live by the Spirit. And that's our starting point to say, okay, this is what God has done. He's removed our old life for us and given us something brand new with a brand new hope and a brand new future. And that's how we get started on this idea of being community people. Number two is dumping the overage, the overfill, the overflow. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, there's this verse that we read through. I mean, we could read all the first 10 verses. That's really wonderful. But just focusing in here on verse 3 of chapter 1, and Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And I really stopped there this week as I was thinking about this, and I was like, wow, how many times have we read these passages, these verses? He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so I kind of took some time to think, all right, how capable am I of containing every spiritual blessing in Christ? How much is that? How big is that blessing? How many blessings does that entail? How much blessing does that represent in tonnage or in cubic feet or cubic tons? Or how do we measure being blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ? Now, it's in the heavenly realms. So again, this is this spiritual life that we've been raised to. This is the life of Christ that we now live. And it's in, as we follow the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit, Paul says. We need to do that. And it's as we move out as Jesus, as gospel bearers, as these incarnational, missional people, as we intend to bring Jesus to our community, to our neighbors, to our workplace, etc., it's there in that spiritual. We are at that point acting as kingdom people, and we are acting in sync, in parallel with what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, and it's there that we receive and we experience every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, obviously, if we're doing the ugly stuff, if we're doing behind-the-scenes stuff and involving ourselves in the darkness and in sin, we're not in spiritual realms there where God is going to give his blessing and show his blessing. So it's not there, but it's in that spiritual sense of we want to live out Jesus' life. We want to be Jesus with skin on, with our mission to be like Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I just thought, well, there's absolutely no way to enumerate the number of blessings and the quantity, the size, the weight of those blessings. And so I'm thinking every spiritual blessing in Christ is way bigger than what Don Freeman can absorb or contain. And so the only thing I can do, and I think the only thing that Jesus wants me to do, is to be filled up and then spill over those blessings on other people and other situations. And so that's why I'm calling number two, dumping the overage, because he's continually filling. He's the giver of every good and every perfect gift. He's always wanting to fill us up. He's always wanting to renew his kindnesses and his faithfulness and his blessings and his provision every morning. And so it's impossible to contain it. And so if we choose to walk out and to be these people, these missional incarnational people, we receive and we spill over the blessings of Christ, those spiritual blessings. And we've all experienced it, I think, where we've been able to do something that's really been a blessing to someone. And giving away something, sharing something, being Christ to someone feels so good, it's so empowering, you want to do it again. And just seeing that Christ has communicated himself through us to someone else is a major affirmation of this new life that's in us. God loves us, and this is proof that he loves us as we share him, as we give ourselves away to him. What returns to us is just the affirmation of the Father, the smiling approval of the Father. And, of course, that's not what we're discussing today necessarily, but we all live in great need of affirmation from the Father. From our earthly fathers, we are desperate to have affirmation and approval. And when we don't have it, and we can live our whole lives crippled because we've never had the affirmation of our Father. And so what Jesus gives us in this newness of life is he gives us a place and a position of being the receivers of every spiritual blessing, including his approval. I think because we follow and we've received everything that Jesus has been given by the Father, those precious words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," those words, or this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased, are words the Father loves to give his children, to affirm us, to build us up, to bless us. So every spiritual blessing in Christ is enough. We could stay and ponder the enormity of what we've been given in Christ for many, many days. But suffice it to say for this morning, we are always given every day more than we could ever give away. So we're these saturated ones. We're these ones who are so filled up with, if we talk about perfume, we were here Friday night and there was a party going on to celebrate a 15th birthday. And every one of these young girls who are here, I think, doused themselves in an entire bottle of perfume. And as you're wandering the hallways, it was almost more than you could handle. Because I think they subscribe to, if a little is good, a whole lot is a whole lot better. Except for those of us who couldn't breathe in the midst of it. But I think being saturated with this, the perfume of Christ, as Paul talks about elsewhere, is so amazing. So once you douse yourself in this stuff, you know, wherever you go, you don't have to think about it anymore. Maybe you don't think about it anymore. Maybe you get used to it, but everybody else is aware as you walk through, because it follows you. It's this cloud or aura that just kind of surrounds you for hours. And the same is true of being in a place where the smell is not so great, and that surrounds you, and you just want to get home and take a shower and get rid of that. But I think what God does for us when he fills us up is so amazing. Others notice, and others are drawn to us. So anyway, there's much more to say about that, but let's move on to number three. Number three is, I'm calling this neighboring the community. I don't even think neighboring is a word, but I've just made it up this morning, and so I've put it in the notes, so I think now it's an official word. In Acts 2, verses 46 and 47, as the church was being born, as Jesus left the disciples and they waited for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the church literally exploded with conversions and new births and new followers of Jesus. And so they instantly, almost, I would say instantly, became, as a result of Peter's very first message, 3,000 people. So that was quite an explosion. Obviously, we've talked about what we would do if 3,000 people showed up here at church. It'd be nice to have a few extra people, but 3,000, I'm not really sure we could really handle that. And in verse 46 and 47 of Acts chapter 2, again, these familiar verses. Every day, the church continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and this phrase, enjoying the favor of all the people. Wow. Can you think of a time when the church, any group of church people, enjoyed the favor of all the people? Now, in the Dark Ages, when I was little, it felt like the church enjoyed the favor of all the people. It was a very socially acceptable thing to do, to go to church. And it may have just been a private club to go to in some sense. But everyone who was somewhat of an upstanding citizen would belong to a church and would go to a church every Sunday. How much it impacted their hearts, I really don't know. But I had the impression as a little kid that everybody went to church on Sunday. Everybody in my community went to church. Our church. Our whole community went to our church. And so I grew up thinking everybody always went to church every Sunday. Well, times have changed a little bit since then. And it is not true anymore, evidenced by the thousands of cars that drive by our door every Sunday morning, that Sunday morning is not necessarily the time to think about going to church. And so people are really not in that mindset anymore. And so the idea of going to church, telling someone you go to a church, may get you some very strange looks. Or, you know, one of the guys that works out at the gym in the mornings, you know, his attitude is, those church people. those church people, because he runs on Sunday morning, and he said, they would run you off the road. So that wasn't the point when I really felt like saying, you know what, I'm a pastor, it's good to meet you. So I just kind of moved on to the next machine. But we don't really have the favor of the whole world anymore. The church has had many black eyes in the last century, and especially in the last 50 years. And so here's this new church, and they're enjoying the favor of all the people. How is that? Well, I mean, there are many scriptures that Paul talks about, and Peter as well, about living the Christian life, living as followers of Jesus. I think they were good neighbors. They were known to people. They were pleasant. They were engaging. They were positive. They were relational. They were interactive. They weren't trying to be offensive to people. They weren't trying to be known for what they were against. They were trying to let people know what they'd received that was positive, that was good, and they wanted to share what they had. And so they lived this intimate lifestyle together and sharing together and enjoying being a part of the community and being a community of themselves. And there were people joining them all the time. There were few verses up, it said there were added to their number each day. And so this idea of the church gathering together, intent on becoming missional, living out this lifestyle, being incarnational, representing Jesus to people around, gospel bearers, good news bearers. In other words, where they went, what they were talking about was good news. They were being encouraging. They had good news to share. And often in our day, what the church has to share is usually bad news, a set of rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. And we are often really miserable to each other, and we find ways of hurting each other sometimes in the church in ways the world doesn't, which is to our shame. And so we're really trying our best to say, you know what, that's maybe some of the models we've learned. We don't want to be there anymore. We want the world to know that we're for the world, that we're for things that God loves, and that we want to be good neighbors, and we want to be active members in our community. And it would be great if people would say of the Peninsula Vineyard that they enjoyed the favor of all the people in York County and the Peninsula. Now, 99% probably don't even know we're here, which is something we need to work on as well. But wouldn't it be great to say that we enjoyed the favor of all the people, even all the people who live in behind? I know when we first put up the first sign we had, and we put Peninsula Vineyard, there were several people that asked, you know, what kind of wine do we sell? Thought it was a winery. And I'm not sure that some don't still think that. But anyway, so now we've tried to put the idea of church a little on our new sign, just a little more evident, just so that they wouldn't mistake who we are. But being a community, being these ones called out to be engaged with the world, people who are not like us necessarily, but we can be good neighbors and good citizens. And then this fourth point that I see God has done here is amping up creativity. In Ephesians chapter 3, again, familiar verses, but these are, as we look at being a community and reaching out as a community into our community, God has given us a lot of creativity, I think, and give us great ideas to work on. So in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, look what it says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, Paul starts this letter to the Ephesians talking about being blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And now here, at the end of chapter 3 of Ephesians, he's saying, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think. How many of us, is there anyone else besides me in this room that has a really vivid imagination? Okay. So isn't it kind of hard? We know how far our imaginations can take us, right? I mean, to to the edge of fantasy and beyond. For some of us, you know, the edge of fantasy is just the jumping off point, and then, you know, we really are out there in La La Land or wherever. And so we can think up some pretty wild things. Paul says in his experience, now Paul is talking from experience. Paul's life is not easy. But he says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And so here's Paul, some 30 years into his walk with Jesus, traveling around, being persecuted, misunderstood, beaten, snake bitten, shipwrecked, stoned with stones, and other things. He's able to say, here is God who is able, and I know he is, Paul says. He can do way beyond. So take all of my creative thinking, imagination, and whatever, take it to its farthest extent, and then that's where God begins. And he is able to do way more than anything that we could even think or imagine. Because it's with his power that is at work within us. These are amazing verses. Keith talked about these bold statements we were making in this song we've been singing lately, Oceans. But these are bold things that Paul is writing here. God can do all of these things in us who are missional, incarnational, gospel bearers, and community indwellers by his power that is currently at work within us. Now, most of us would probably look in the mirror and go, I don't know how you see yourself first thing in the morning. For some of us, it's hard to look in the mirror first thing in the morning. And so maybe that's a good thing. We have these horrible lights in our bathroom that take 45 seconds to come up. You know, they turn on, and they're just really, really dim, and they eventually come up to full speed. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have bought them. But anyway, we're stuck with them. They're expensive. I can't replace them now. You know, it's hard sometimes to look at ourselves in the mirror, and we would not say, first thing in the morning, at least I have a hard time saying this, well, look at you, you child of God, you overcomer, and there is nothing that can stop you. You are this awesome person. I'm just trying to get in and out without getting blasted with it as I go off to the gym. But as we really see ourselves in Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing, I don't think we have even scratched the surface of what God has made available to us in his amazing plan of salvation. Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, being raised to newness of life, sending the Holy Spirit, sending us off on mission. Sometimes I really think, for me, and maybe for us as well, we feel like we have all this job to do and I need to figure out how to do it myself. But you remember what Paul said to the Galatians? You foolish Galatians, what is going on? What has gone wrong? Have you lost your minds? This whole mission and everything that God has given you that began by the Spirit, are you so foolish to think that now you're going to finish it by the mighty arm of flesh? It's not possible. You can't do that. And so here, when we come back to this, and Paul is affirming his belief that God gives us everything we need. So he gives, some people say, like Moses, I can't speak. Or, you know, we were in a workshop at the conference this week, and several members of a church staff were there, and each one had to give a little blurb on what their responsibilities were. And, you know, the first few that jumped up, of course, were, you know, all chatty and full of words and could always express themselves and lots of expressions with their hands and all the rest of it. And one of the guys get up who's, I don't even remember what his job was, but he was having a really hard time. And so he just said a few words and didn't want to look up and then sat down again. And his pastor was there trying to get him to say a few words more. And he's like, you know, I don't like talking in front of people. So there are people who don't really like talking in front of people. And I think to fill this job out, if God wants them to speak, he'll put words in their mouth for them. And we often say, don't put words in my mouth when someone's trying to explain what we're thinking. But when it comes to God, we want him to put words in our mouth. We want him to give us the words. Give us, when we're praying for someone, help us to know, how do we pray? Give us discernment. I don't have anything to give here. How many times have we been in that situation? We're praying for someone and we're just like, And so, you know, that's when God just shows up and gives us what we need. So I love this verse here when he says, according to his power that is at work within us. And then before we start feeling like, oh, that's wonderful, God's power is at work within me, I'm a mighty man of faith and power, he says, no, in verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. So he gives us all of this provision in order that his name would be glorified, both in the church community, that we'd find favor with all the people, and then beyond that to the world and throughout all generations forever and ever. So what God has done is taken our old life, which was destined for hell, and brought us into a new life, brand new, all things made new, Corinthians tells us. Paul's experience with the Lord, when we get to heaven, is going to be so amazing to talk to Paul and get to fill in all the blanks. What was it really like, Paul, when you fell on the ground on the way to Damascus? What were those 3 days like when you were alone in that house in Damascus with and blinded? What were the things you saw? What was God saying to you? And what was it like when the scales fell off your eyes and you opened your eyes for the first time with all this new understanding? What was that really like, Paul? And what were those 14 years like where you kind of disappeared from circulation? What did God show you during all those years before you came back and you turned the whole world upside down? What did God have to do to you to make you a writer and to write down all these kind of things? You know, I sometimes, in my wild imagination, think, I bet you Paul hated writing. I bet you he hated it. And he had a wife that was saying, he wasn't married, but you know, he had a wife like mine who says, you need to write, you know. You're a good writer. Yes, I know. I need to write. I know. I haven't done it yet. But I kind of think Paul was like that. And the Holy Spirit said, I don't care what you like, Paul. People coming after you are going to need to know what you know from me. And so what we end up with are all these letters that explain so well for us what it is to live the Christian life. And so Paul experienced pretty much everything we've got to experience. And so these verses that we've looked at this morning, I think, are just so amazing to us. We've been filled up. God wants to fill us up. He wants us to go out, enjoy the favor of all the people around us, and then every bit of creativity that is in us comes from him, and he wants us to put it to use. So wherever we feel we have urges to create and to get involved, I think God really wants us to explore that, because he's able to come to fruition everything he's given us as creative gifts for the blessing, not only in the church, but to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so, and one of our phrases, our mottos here at the church at the bottom there, we're just ordinary people with an extraordinary message. We're always only going to be ordinary people, and we will always have an extraordinary message. And what God calls us to do, I believe he equips us, and he gives us everything we need to get that job done. So let's pray as we accept the role of going out into our communities and being a blessing, not being the ghostwriters who fly in and close the garage door behind them and are never seen again until they open the garage door and fly out in the morning. But getting involved in our communities, being a blessing to our communities. Let's pray together as we celebrate all that God has made available to us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for newness of life. Thank you for these blessings and these mercies that are renewed every morning. Every 24 hours, your word says that you come and you want to fill us back up with the provision for the day so that we don't have to do it on our own. And we know it's possible from the early church record here in Acts that there was great favor with just not those who are a part of the church, but those outside in the community as well, enjoying the favor of all the people. Father, as we seek to live out these lives that are missional and incarnational, gospel-bearing, could we find favor where we go? Because we're not trying to represent us, we're trying to represent you. And you come with good gifts and a good word. And you are provision. And you are the answer. And then, Father, thank you for the creative thinking processes that you've given us. Help us to understand that you champion every one of the gifts that you give us. And it is your full-hearted intention that we would live out every gift, every skill, people or task, either way. That we would live it out fully before you in our communities. So before we get fearful of these things you've called us to, Father, could we instead focus on what you've given us and this power that is powerfully at work within us right now. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and you would refresh and renew and fill us again. Even now in this place, Father, would you just come? Your yoke is easy and your burden is light, you say. And so it's not to be crushing. It's not an assignment that's going to do us in. It's going to fill us with great joy as we walk it out in a full understanding of your gifts that you've given, your provision that you make available to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Some of us are part of communities that are a major challenge to us. People around us, people we meet on a regular basis that challenge everything in the old man. And we don't want to bless them. We want to ignore them. We want to push them away. We want to pretend they're not there. And so it's a challenge to us. And some of these community or members, neighbors, family members, co-workers that aren't going away because they're part of our daily existence. So we need extra grace as we move away from the fear and the wanting to make sure that our needs get met and begin to generously just give of everything that Father has. So if that's you this morning, if you're just in need of extra grace for the community that you've been placed in, just pray that God would fill you with an extra sense of his abundance for the community that you find yourself a part of. That he would grace you with loving words to turn away wrath. And a gift of discernment that would diffuse tough situations. And that we would be the aroma of Christ. That we would become those people that people want to be around. And that people would begin asking how they can have what we have because it's so attractive. So we close the door on the old and we look to all these things that are in the new. So, Father, would you do that in us? Would you solidify these truths in our hearts this morning so that as we go into our week, we'd be filled up with this great understanding of your abundance for getting this job done. So as we go this morning, knowing that God has made provision, it's going to be an exciting thing to see how he does what he promises. And so we're going to be dismissed, but also if several of us want to, it's going to be all right. Beth, can we just surround you and pray with you as you head off? Beth's going to be leaving back to the UK this Thursday for a period of time to be back with her husband again as they work their way through the visa issue. And so part of her community creates some challenges there, and so we want to pray for the trip and for these next months that she's back there. And so we want to do that as she heads back to her man. And so we want to do that, and then we'll be dismissed. So several would come up, and let's pray blessing around Beth as she leaves.